And that's why we bring in our next guest. She is the lifesaver here. She will raise the show. Always fantastic. She doesn't come on nearly enough. And then we were thinking about, okay, guests we want to get on. I'm like, why don't we get Kara Wagland on? She's always fun. And she joins us now, of course, SportsCenter anchor, host of NFL on CTV. Kara, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Maddie, I am not comfortable with that level of expectation for this hit.
Okay, let's do this again. Hey, everyone, we couldn't think of anyone to get to. If we can hit a C to a C+, that'll be a big win. From SportsCenter, it's Kara Wagland. Kara, thanks for joining the show.
Bang. Thank you for having me. That is an appropriate introduction.
All right. Okay, so what I love about this, we're going to bounce back and forth, serious topics, real topics, okay, and everything, sure, everything in between. Carlo and I fought about this on Monday. I think it is so offside. If you are on a plane and you recline your seat and there's a baby on someone's lap behind you, you are a monster if you do that. And I imagine you are in agreement.
I have to say I'm not a fan. I obviously had like a direct story relating to this topic recently. I'm someone who never reclines my seat. And up until now, I've never begrudged anybody for making the choice to recline. I think that it's only courteous to maybe take a glance behind you and obviously not during meal service and things like that. But I just feel like the planes keep getting smaller.
Yes.
I know that the seats recline, but things have changed since they put those reclining seats in, and maybe they shouldn't recline. Like, do you really get that much more comfort from 2.5 extra inches?
No.
I don't know that you do.
No.
So I'm flying back from Turks and Caicos on Saturday. I have my 1.5-year-old on my lap, and I sit down, and there's a lady sitting in front of me, and I already had my eye on this person because she's talking on her cell phone, and we are now taking off. The front two wheels of the plane are off the tarmac, are off the runway, and she's still on her phone. And I'm looking at my husband like, is this allowed? Like, what is happening here? She finally hangs up the phone and then very aggressively reclines the seat to the point that the person sitting next to her turned around and looked at me and gave me a look like, can you believe she just did that? And so I'm sitting there with my 1.5-year-old who has never flown before.
Yeah.
And he was great. Like, I mean, that's not her fault. But he's doing the best he can. He's a little squirmy. We're already trying to make it through a 4-hour flight with him. It's going to be nap time. And it was just one thing after another with this person. Like, the level of consideration did not exist. And it was just, at one point, she was leaning her head back in between the seats, and her hair was hanging down on my son's iPad.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what is happening right now?
Self-entitled narcissist. That's what that is.
And I still felt bad when my son kicked her seat a couple times. I was chiding him and saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
When my husband's like, let him kick the seat.
Not only would I let the kid kick the seat, I know, and this is going to sound bad as a professional uncle. I'm not a parent. I might have pinched my child just to get them to start screaming to annoy the person who did the reclining.
Oh, man. Like, it was one of those, like, really, of all things, I'm staring down the barrel of 4 hours with a kid who won't nap, and you're going to recline your seat in front of me.
Okay, I'm going to give you two different scenarios. Which is the one that shocks you more about how childish adults will act? One, on a plane, or two, how they treat the office refrigerator?
Like, how disgusting our office refrigerators are?
I didn't want to say that, but yes. our with like, just like 4-day-old, half-eaten lasagna in bad Tupperware.
I don't even use the refrigerators at work for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really blame people because it's so easy to put something in there and then forget it's there. So I don't think that there's any malice or intent behind it.
Yeah.
It's the people who go in there, see something that they know is not theirs, and take it anyway. That the mens rea exists in that crime.
Oh, It's absolutely horrible. By the way, fair or foul, I'm joined by Kara Wagland doing hot sports talk here today on Gameplay. If I've seen that a piece of Tupperware has been there for more than like 3 days and it's getting disgusting, I will throw it out. I don't care who you are or that you're a stranger to me or I know you. I have thrown out Tupperware.
3 days is tough. 3 days, I feel like, is too short of a span. I think if there's mold growing on something or a really foul odor coming from it, then yes,
salmon.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Like, seriously, people, don't put your fish in the fridge. I mean, we used to have, like, kind of an unspoken rule in the newsroom, like, pre-pandemic when we had lots of bodies in there. If you wanted to bring fish of any kind for lunch or dinner, you could bring that, but then you sat outside the newsroom and ate it. No one would eat fish in the newsroom. And it was, no one really talked about it. It was just like, you know, an unspoken rule that you just don't do it because we're all in one big room with no ventilation and no one wants to smell your tuna.
100%. And just, again, narcissistic monsters who bring fish to the workplace. And if that fish sees a microwave, you should be fired. You mentioned Turks and Caicos, and I have to ask, it is a gorgeous spot, beautiful beaches, beautiful pools, beautiful ocean. How often did Jamie McLennan go in the water?
I can count on one hand the number of times he went outside the house.
What does he do? What does he do? You're at Turks and Caicos.
What's he doing? I literally said to Steph at one point, what is his dream vacation? Like, we are in a beautiful tropical paradise. Yes, it was hot, but we had a nice pool. We were right on the beach. Everyone was outside the whole day. And she said his ideal vacation is somewhere that has strong Wi-Fi. I was like, all right. Once you accept it and you know what he is, you can accept him for what he is and move on. And we had a great vacation.
I'm glad the three of you had a great vacation. I am a water freak. I see a body of water. I need to jump in it.
Right. Exactly.
Awkwardly transitioning from the fun to the serious. The news came down. Deshaun Watson, the agreement between the NFLPA and the NFL. Deshaun Watson, the suspension goes from 6 games to 11 with a $5 million fine. That still felt underwhelming to me. I'm curious your thoughts.
Disappointed is probably the word that came to mind. First was speechless, then was disappointed. And for a myriad of reasons, I didn't even know where to find the words. Like, I just want someone to make it make sense for me. I'm disappointed that there are few to little repercussions for the Cleveland Browns, who chose to structure a contract around an impending suspension so that the offender would lose as little money as possible. That, to me, should have had some kind of punishment or some kind of action from the NFL. The lack of a real apology here. Like, the NFL is standing on the ground that he's agreed to put his best character onto the field and to better himself. And how are you going to do that when you still have not offered a real apology? Like, the apology we've gotten is basically, I need to move on with my career, so this is what PR is telling me to say, and I'm sorry it triggered you.
Yeah.
That is not an apology. The NFL had a real chance to get this right. The fact that they came out with the news a while ago that Roger Goodell wanted a full season suspension and a $10 million fine looked like they were trending in the right direction. I understand the judge who originally ruled on this was handcuffed by precedent because the NFL has a really bad track record of how they deal with these cases. And it seemed like they were trying to be better this time. Roger Goodell could have gotten that suspension and that fine if he wanted it. This was completely in his, the ball was in his court, so to speak. And this is how the league let this play out. The other thing that screams to me that they don't care about the repercussions of this situation and the message they're sending is that 11 games seem like such an arbitrary number until you looked at the schedule. And let me ask you, Maddie, does it seem like a coincidence to you that Deshaun Watson's first game back will be his return to the Houston Texans?
No, it absolutely doesn't.
Exactly.
And they're not in the same division where there might be the odds because they play each other twice a year. So no, this felt a little, it felt a little too convenient, and it kind of follows the theme, Kara, as you're talking about, that doesn't matter what this guy does, he just keeps getting rewarded because he's a really good quarterback. And then on top of that, his press conference today, he basically said, I am standing on my innocence, I didn't do anything wrong, which sounded way different than all the PR statements that have been put out.
Exactly. And I feel like, and don't get me wrong, the person that needs to be held the most responsible is certainly Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
But these situations are not going to stop. People are not going to stop making these choices until they are held accountable and responsible by the leagues they play for and the people who sign their paychecks. And it just isn't happening. And so these things will continue to happen because the message I was sent as a female today was that if you are involved in a sexual assault situation, it is better for you to stay quiet. That is the message I heard today.
Yeah. It's well said. It's and the thing is I'm a firm, I talk about it all the time. I'm a firm believer in second chances when they're deserved. The story of Michael Vick is to me an incredible case of actual crime, punishment, second chances, and redemption. And we saw it there. We haven't seen it here. And considering the character of Deshaun Watson, I don't think we ever will. So I agree, Carl.
And I think you said it right there. You can't truly afford someone a real and genuine second chance until they are making the effort for that to be a second chance. And in order for that to happen, there needs to be accountability, there needs to be acceptance of responsibility, and then you can potentially move forward. A lesson needs to be learned in order for a second chance to exist. That hasn't happened yet. They're jumping to step four when step two and three haven't happened.
Yep. It's disappointing. It's disappointing all ends. And yes, but the blame first and foremost goes to Deshaun Watson. And after that, to me, the Cleveland Browns and just allow it and just enabling that sort of behavior. Mm-hmm. Awkwardly transitioning from that, but staying in sports. I think yesterday on the broadcast, you described, I think it was Czechia as sneaky. I called Switzerland. They were the lurkers. They kept lurking in that game. It was 5-3 for like most of that game. Canada wins 6-3. I'm disappointed. To me, and I joke about this all the time, the second greatest rivalry in hockey is the Leafs versus the salary cap, but the number one rivalry is Canada versus America. I like underdogs in the early rounds, not in the semifinals. I wanted Canada versus America, and I'm not getting that, and it bugs me.
I think everybody does. Everybody loves, in any sport across the board, anytime we're talking about national teams, everybody wants to see the Canada-U.S. rivalry. It's a rivalry unlike any other. But if we want these specific sports to continue to grow, we want other teams in other countries to get better.
Yeah.
Look how much everyone loved what Latvia did because they got their first win at the World Juniors and they made it through the quarterfinals. And it gives you something to cheer for. It's not fun when two teams kind of walk all over everybody, which is not exactly what happens in the World Juniors anymore. Anyway, we do have other great countries that compete. And I like what Bob said last night on the panel about Czechia. He said, you know, when they play really bad, they play really bad. But when they play well, they're capable of beating most teams in this tournament. And so I don't know that this is necessarily going to be the walkover for Canada that everyone's expecting it to be. They've already beaten them once. Probably they'll win. But Czechia is very capable of putting up a fight. And so I think it's going to be interesting. We didn't see Canada's best game against the Swiss. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They're without Ridly Gregg now. I don't know if there's been any news on that today that's come out. He left the game last night, and it was kind of uncertain as to how long he'd be out. That's a big loss for them. So it's going to be interesting moving forward to see what's going to happen. I am a little disappointed. I understand your disappointment that we aren't going to get a Canada-U.S., but I do like cheering for the underdogs and seeing what happens. And at least there being some interest and intrigue, it's not necessarily the same old storylines all the time either.
You're nicer than me. I'm not cheering for the underdog. I want Canada to win 10-0 against Czechia. Kara, before I let you go, I saw this on your Twitter account where you were talking about the impact that Lisa LaFlemme had on you on your career. I was wondering if you wanted to share it with the listeners.
Lisa, I have so many words, and I don't even know that I've processed everything completely yet. I'm still working my way through it. Obviously, a number of us, especially front-facing females, have so many emotions that we're kind of running through right now. For me, Lisa was someone who was a mentor. I was lucky enough to kind of come across her in the makeup room on a daily basis, especially when I did the 5 o'clock Sports Center, and she was always so amazingly warm and kind, and she just held herself and people around her to a standard as a journalist that I don't know greatly exists in our industry anymore. And I feel like that is what we should be moving towards and not moving away from. And she is someone that when I had questions throughout my career or questioned a direction we were going with something on the show, or I would walk across the hallway to the CTV side and seek her out, and she would sit down with me, and I would lay out the situation for her and say, what do you think I should do? Do you think I'm offline? Do you think this is the right move to make? And she would be honest with me, and she was so generous with her time and trying to help guide me down the right journalistic path, and I will never, ever forget that, and I hope to only see big and amazing things for her, which is completely what I expect because she's a class act top to bottom.
Fantastic answer. Kara, thank you so much for joining the show. We got to get you on more often. Just spin the wheel of topics and have fun. I'm upset at that recliner. I'm upset at Jamie McLennan. But overall, I feel nothing but joy with the rest of the interview. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, just keep Carlo to keep spitting out brutal takes, and I will happily come on and tear him down.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, the Raiders are going to win the AFC West. It's like, okay, fine.
Yeah, I heard that one, too.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that, Carlo. Kara, thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care. Kara Wagland, SportsCenter anchor and also host of the NFL on CTV.